Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome to the F4L headquarters, and I am your host with the most, the F4L icon himself, the leader of the F4L, and one of the founders. I am Sean Jazz Stevens. Welcome, everyone, to this special edition of Talking Tuesday, F4L headquarters. Today, we're going to clear the air, and I'm going to be more descriptive of a message that I posted yesterday, and I want to follow up on that, and something we talked about last Monday for a little while. So, you know, before I get into doing a lot of other things, I think it's important to address the elephant in the room. So, a lot of people are going to, you know, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Usually I don't write anything out ahead of time before I do this show or I do YouTube or anything like that. That's a throwback to my wrestling days when I used to have to do live promos where all I really needed to know is how long do you want me to go for and what is the topic of discussion. And because I am one of the best talkers on the microphone and I had that reputation, you know, bookers and, you know, programmers and, you know, whatever the case may be, the people in charge of the show would always know where to put me and what to do. And I would just take it from there. Most of the time when you're doing these shows that I would have to do, the promoter would have, something in mind, you know, my wife and I tonight took a trip down memory lane. I was watching, and I don't know if it's stroking an ego or not, but I don't know how many people actually can sit there and watch a show that they were a part of and watch a company and see throwbacks to people who you called, you know, you shared a locker room with, you watched grow, you helped train over the last several years, and knowing where they all ended up. Some of them got big deals. Some of them, you know, did pretty successful on the local scene. Some of them are just kind of there, and some of them just kind of left altogether. You know, it happens. But we were watching an old show from 2012, which was probably the height of the fandom known as the Jazz Fitness era. It was probably the midst of as popular as Jazz Fitness was. Jazz Fitness was the character in which I portrayed in BCW and SRW. That's Bay State Championship Wrestling. I haven't talked a lot about Bay State Championship Wrestling on the show as much as I've talked about wrestling and, you know, tributing those who helped me around the way. I did talk about how at one point that company I felt was making fun of, you know, who I once was or making fun of my name. Though looking back at it and, you know, now years and years later, I'm able to watch that show. And I am fortunate enough to have one of the old full shows on DVD, which for those kids out there who don't know what a DVD is, who grew up in the digital era, a DVD is a small disc in which films and whatnot, or sometimes music are on. Well, a DVD has movies on it usually. Or videos of some kind, or where, you know, CD is more where you'd find music and such. So to clear that up for those kids out there who don't know what CD or a DVD is anymore. But, yeah, we watched an old DVD of BCW. It was 2012, and it was the Holbrook. It took place at the Holbrook Sports Complex, which is no longer there. Today, that building is, I think it's a FedEx building or something. But at one point, it was a hockey rink, and that was where we would train future stars of tomorrow a couple times a week. And then also, we held some, you know, we'd have once in a while, a few times a year in the weekend, we'd throw on a show there in the middle of the hockey rink. And, you know, so the students had a way to build on themselves and grow as, you know, stars or whatever, master their craft. And other people would come in. And of course, you know, it was fun for people. The fans liked BCW and SRW, and the promoters, Mike and Dan, you know, were two, two guys who I actually have a lot of respect for, as much as people might, you know, wonder, you know, how I feel about them, even though at one point I thought they were making fun of me. I realized they weren't making fun of me, and actually I owe them a bit of gratitude. I think that, you know, my first concern when they brought up the Jazz fitness idea, the unfit fitness guru, and being the heel, which is a bad guy for those people who don't know, I didn't think I could get over as a heel, but I also didn't think, you know, I didn't know if I could make that work. And, you know, the ideas were to, you know, kind of be the unfit fitness guru, since I looked like I probably wouldn't be able to be very athletic because of my size at that time. I was just getting off of the couch, so to speak. I just got, you know, the green light to go back to wrestling after a 3 or 4 year injury that kept me on the sidelines. I wasn't allowed to work out a lot. So I put on some pounds, unfortunately, and people who knew me through high school and whatever knew me to be in pretty good shape. I was always in the gym. We called those kinds of people like me gym rats, because we were always in the gym pounding away, and, you know, we lift weights till we couldn't do it anymore. But, you know, then unlike a lot of the other guys, I would go and write a short story or write something and or do my focus on the schoolwork versus other people who kind of, you know, got involved in just the sports and left it at that. I knew that it was going to be something else for me. You know, and remember, my first goal out of high school was to become a pro wrestler, which I did. I went to wrestling school. I started in 98, 6 months before I ended high, 6 months before I graduated high school, which, you know, I did a show last week where I did the, I did my whole speech that I reiterated the speech I gave to my class this year, as my high school has asked me, I've lost track, to be honest with you. I said a number. I lost track of how many times I've been back to the high school to do the, what they call the commencement speech. The commencement speech takes place during your graduation of your school, where they'll have someone, an alma mater, someone who went to that school, an alumni, to come in and talk to the students who are graduating and future graduates, to kind of give them the aspiring thing, what they can look forward to as their first congratulations or whatever. And I've been honored to do that multiple times. And last week I got to do that again. And this time was in person, which was nice. So it's cool. So that was always fun. You know, and, you know, as we were watching the old BC, you know, I started wrestling school, like I said, 6 months before I graduated high school. Went right into wrestling school. That was my first goal. And, you know, completed it, Technically, in wrestling, you never really stop training. You don't really stop learning something. And you don't really stop, you know, elevating yourself. You really shouldn't be anyway. You always should try to inspire to do more. I came from a martial art background where I did a lot of martial arts, Muay Thai, Kenpo, Chukkudo, Muay Thai. I think I already said that. But I was cross-trained, as we called it back then, and I competed in a lot of freestyle tournaments, which is what the term was used before they rebranded it to MMA. Freestyle was, you had people who were cross-trained like I was, and cross-trained again. Is multiple forms of combat, you know, whether it be boxing or wrestling, grappling, or, you know, various different martial arts. That was called, you know, that's this, when you competed in freestyle tournaments, you competed against other students of other schools in your region, state, area, part of your country, where other people were cross-trained like yourself. So, you know, that happens, you know. So I came from that background. Excuse me. So I came from that background. And the background that I came from, you know, you had to be the top level of everything. And we're going to get into that a little later on when I talk about some, you know, the meat of the metal, so to speak. But, you know, it's always good to remember where we come from. You know, that's why I remember this as a school. And today we were watching the old, you know, BCW show from Holbrook in 2012 during the height of Jazz Fitness. And where I originally thought they were making fun of the character, I didn't think I could get, number one, I didn't think people could buy me being a jerk. And could I be mean? Because in real life, I'm generally pretty nice. The Jazz Vengeance character that I portrayed first in wrestling, which is what I'm known for, that was my real nickname. And what made my name special, which still remains special, is the fact that I didn't give myself that name. I didn't give myself the Jazz name, and I didn't give myself the Vengeance name. And many times I've told the story of how that came to be, so I'm not going to bore you with that story again. But more the bottom line was I was a bully buster, and I earned my nickname because all the other kids called me Jazz Vengeance. And by the time I graduated high school, that's pretty much with most people outside of my immediate people after that and whatnot will usually call me Jazz or some variation. Kids I played sports with will call me JV or just Vengeance or Jazzy Jazz or some variation of Jazz or Vengeance or JV or, you know, Venginator was one of my favorites. There's many different variations of my name that people I grew up with would call me. And then wrestling, when I told the story in wrestling school of what the nickname was, they said, that's your name. So I was always the good guy, the voice of the people, being the bully buster that I am, being the hometown hero that I was, you know, assigned to be, and getting my first break working for a, you know, at one point the third biggest wrestling company was a great experience for me. And I'm very grateful for it. And a lot of people, you know, we'll have a lot of things to say about Paul Heyman, but to me, he was my first person who took a chance on me, and I appreciated him for that. I think it's also important, as you know, you'll hear stories about the negative parts of ECW and whatnot, and I'm just going to tell you that I don't have anything bad to say about any of those experiences. One, I was only 19 years old in ECW, and Paul Heyman gave me the opportunity and gave me the microphone. The person who trained me, who got me that deal with Paul Heyman in ECW, was the person who trained me and who was in charge of my first part of my career, which was Walter Kowalski. Wrestling fans know him as Killer Kowalski, who is a local legend and a local hero in wrestling for us. Very noble man, and a lot of people who were lucky enough to learn from him, you know, took a lot more. I think they would take a lot more from his learnings than a lot of other people might be willing to hear. I'm someone who hangs on every word someone says, and I'll see some things and hold on to certain elements or certain quotes or sayings that will resonate. I've said it before. One of my early tournaments, actually, I think it was my very first tournament I participated in. I was like 5 years old. Throwback to 1985. And yes, I remember it. My grandmother was in the stands, as my grandmother was usually the one who went to the fights. Helen, my grandmother. And she was there with my aunt. And I don't remember if my mother was there. I'm going to say she might have been. My grandmother and my aunt was definitely there. And I think one of my uncles were there. Neither my grandmother nor my aunt drove. So it had to be one of them. So my mother might have been there. I don't remember who else was there other than I knew my grandmother was there when I won, because when I won my first tournament, Chuck Norris was there and he did this speech, and he said, and I remember this from 5 years old, that knowledge is power. Power is a weapon. Be careful how you use it. You know, in speaking in reference to the things and the knowledge you learn in your training and the various different forms of combat sports, the knowledge you possess is a weapon, and your mind is the most powerful weapon out there. I paraphrased the entire thing because it's simplified for everybody else. And that is what he meant. But what he said was knowledge is power. Power is a weapon. Be careful what you use it with. And that's kind of what that was about. But in all honesty, it's a great life lesson and something that can be applied to anything, really. the more knowledge you learn about something, the more equipped you are to you know, handle various situations that may or may not come up. Or you might have input on how to help someone else in that situation. There you go. Now, you know, when I'm, you know, going back to the watching the old BCW, because that's what we were talking about and going back in time, because I think it's important to realize that, you know, where I didn't believe that I could be a villain. I couldn't get people not to like me. And, you know, Mike and Dan, who were the owners and the promoters of BCW at the time, in all honesty, they were very fair to me and they were very respectful. I remember I accidentally found them. My uncle and his friends would play floor hockey in this hockey rink, like I mentioned, at the whole sports complex. And they told me that there was a wrestling training going on when I was about to come back to wrestling. My uncle knew that I wrestled or knew of wrestling and knew that I was doing that. And he knew that I got the green light to go back and I, you know, had to find a niche to get back in. At that point, I just completed college. I just graduated. And all honesty, a lot of people ask me, why did I go back to wrestling? Why didn't I just go right into the filmmaking? Why didn't I just go into human services right away? Because reality was, I'm very capable of doing all three at the same time, and that's usually what I do. I overbook myself, so I'm never just sitting around because I can't just sit around. I don't have that in my – I don't know what sitting around is. I sit around, and I usually – at the very least sitting around, I have a pen, paper, and I'm in my glory because that's when I get to write, and that doesn't bother me. And trust me, I can write. I'll invent things to write. Ask my family what happens if I go out. I need to have a pen and a piece of paper with me everywhere. Now, that being said, you know, Mike and Dan saw that I could still speak, that I had the same training that the Kowalski and his school gave me to train on how to speak, to do promos, as we're called in wrestling, is, you know, they would, I told before how, you know, they would have me cut promos on everybody who was there in the school that day, whether they were a heel character or a character or a guest, you know, trainer or the trainers themselves. I was expected to cut a promo different on every single person there, whether they're heel or face, because that would mean that I would have to switch from heel to face towards every single person too, depending on who it was. And I think I did that really well. And I don't know if this is something that's a common practice. And I'm going to have to say that it had to have been because it was effective, clearly, because I'm, you know, in 2003, which is the same year I get injured, I was featuring one of the wrestling magazines as the getting the Golden Microphone Award, being hot on the stick, being good promos. And then I got injured. And this is, you know, we'll get into later about having the backups, but I was fortunate enough that I had plenty of other backups and plenty of other ambitions that I needed because I'm not someone, again, who can just sit around. In fact, when the doctor said, you can't go to the gym, you can't work out, you can't really do anything athletic right now because of your knee, I said, well, now I can utilize my, you know, I made the decision I was going to utilize my, I had gotten a few of the, what do they call them? I got a few of the scholarships from high school left over still. Because remember, I got injured. I graduated in 99, and I still had some time to use a few of the scholarships that were awarded to me. I just never followed through because at that time I was already in wrestling school, and that was my first, you know, goal. But I was able to utilize two grants, and I was actually able to earn two separate college degrees, because I couldn't decide if I wanted to make films or help people. So I decided to do more work and take the harder road and get two separate degrees, which meant more classes for two different specialties, one in filmmaking and the other in human services, which covers a lot of, you know, social work and various things like that. And that's currently what I have today. That's my college degrees. And, of course, you know, I could make my independent movies, and I did. I got awarded a film grant to make my first few films. I was lucky enough to take part in local productions to help them out as I was a intern. And the Romero Films Company helped me out with that. I got my own film company, Jazz Productions, of course. And, you know, I met a person at the BCW show, and that's kind of what, you know, leads us back to where we are full circle. And I watched the person who I once trained as a wrestler, who found out he liked the holding the cameras more. When I met him, he was 15 and going to school for culinary. And BCW and SRW, if you had your parents' waiver and they were there, you know, they would train you to be a wrestler, 15, 16 years old. Of course, you know, you're expected to do the same workouts and stuff like that, but we take, you know, age into account, whatever. So, you know, he started out as a wrestler, and he decided he liked the technical stuff, liked holding the cameras, and that's kind of where we put him. In all honesty, he was the one who filmed a lot of the early Jazz Fitness videos. So when we're watching these videos, and we're watching, you know, this video today, watching the various matches, and my wife is watching it really for the first time, watching the full disc, you know, the whole show to get the full feel. I realized, and I've said it before, that I didn't realize it until after, and this was the moment. Today it was even apparent, my wife even pointed out that, you know, when I thought they were making fun of me, it was actually made me, and they told, what the advice I got from two of the veterans in the area, when I thought that the promoters were making fun of me or insulting me or whatever, ribbing me, as we say in wrestling, with the gimmick and whatever else, they told me, if you think they're making fun of your gimmick, go out there and get your gimmick over, and that's the best way you can show them what's up. I went out there and applied 100% into the gimmick, kind of like Dusty Rhodes, and that's kind of what they referred to it as. Go out there and show them what Dusty Rhodes would do with the polka dots. And anyone who knows about the wrestling and knows about, you know, the history of the legendary Dusty Rhodes prior to going to the WWE, probably one of the biggest names, and they put polka dots on him. He's still, and it was a rib at first, and he still got the polka dots over because if you have a star and you can dress him in anything else, it doesn't matter what he's wearing. He's always going to be a star regardless. And Dusty Rhodes is an epitome of that. So that's exactly what I did. And today it was apparent even more so because I never actually watched the whole thing. Because I'll be honest, I watched my stuff to make sure I was good. And it was true that the other matches prior to my match, the fans were not invested in a lot of the other matches. So I could understand the heat that people might have with me that, you know, they feel like, you know, a lot of people were there to see the draw or to see the fitness center. You know, that was the name of the talk show segment I had. Of course, the guest on the show was the legendary Doink the Clown. And that's where the old Doink Jazz Fitness rivalry began. And that's also where we pointed the phrase, you know, Jazz got pied by Doink. And, yep, now I can actually say that the Hall of Famer, Doink the Clown, well, he's not a Hall of Famer yet, but the legendary Doink the Clown, WWE alumni, I guess, I got pied by that Doink, so lucky me, I guess, by helping other people get over, and it was a great experience. So, you know, I was with my wife watching that. We had a good laugh. I went for a walk like I normally do because I had to prepare for this show today and to get ready to address the things, the elephant in the room and what I, you know, posted last night. Technically, I guess it was this morning. But I want to take us back to a few steps because I think it's important that everyone hears and understands everything that I have to say about this. And I want to make sure it's clear, which is why I have, and I kid you not, I have a cup of my Dead Sled coffee here. I have a couple of my Brutalities tea here. Thank you very much to both of those companies. Dead Sled Coffee has the best gimmicks coffee named after horror stuff out there for coffee. Dead Sled is, you know, best independent coffee out there. I don't care. And Brutalities is the best gimmick tea you'll ever have. It's natural. They all smell amazing. They taste as good as they smell. I'm having one right now that has like a lavender thing in it. My wife, I couldn't decide which tea I wanted, so my wife helped pick, and then she realized that she's allergic to lavender, and she regretted it ever since. So now my tea kettle, which I have a little portable tea kettle, which I put it in, it has one of those tea leafers. Yeah, we're talking real tea, people. This is not, you know, low-brain stuff. This is not tea bags like you get, the Folgers or whatever. This is legit tea. And I'm drinking this lavender one. It is amazing. A little bit of honey, of course, because I like my tea with honey, regardless. So periodically, you'll hear me taking a sip. So I have the coffee, I have the tea, and believe it or not, I have a cup of water, a giant cup of water over here. So, you know, we've heard the term triple, double-fisted. Well, I'm Irish, and I guess tonight I'm going triple-fisted, because I am triple-fisted. And I also want to give you guys an update from last week. I had mildly complained I couldn't find the little headpiece that my wife had gotten me. It's a little piece that goes into my computer that allows me to use my portable headset that I use for this show. I have a wireless, I have a mic that's amazing too that my kids got me, which is also awesome. But I like the headset sometimes because things like what I'm about to do, like go over there and over like literally 2 inches from me and pour some hot water into my coffee cup to add to my coffee, I can do, and you can still hear me like it's just every day. These are great things right here. I don't really know who makes it or anything, and obviously they're not sponsoring me or anything. None of these people are. I just like to give credit where credit is due. That's all. Who knows? Maybe down the road, especially when I go back to when I make the announcements, I'm going to be making a little bit. When this is the only avenue we have to hear me, and it's still awesome. I just added to my coffee. So, yes, 3 cups, 3 separate drinks, tea, coffee, and water. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun show. Hope you guys are enjoying it so far. And also, I wanted to point out coffee, tea. Both have caffeine. I want to let you know that because I don't think drinking decaffeinated coffee or tea is, I don't understand why someone would do such things. It kind of defeats the purpose. Kind of like someone who says and claims they like to drink espresso. I had a friend of mine who used to tell me, it's not that we enjoy the taste of espresso or cappuccino or whatever else. It's the fact that the caffeine buzz you get off of it. Because by itself, it's disgusting, but, you know, add it to, you know, whatever, it's good. And it is. So coffee and tea, I think, are delightful. And that's not the case with these ones, by the way. I feel kind of bad because if I was able to get him some of this Dead Sled coffee or these Brutalities, because he actually liked drinking tea as well. Actually, he was more of a tea guy, my friend was. So and he would might have been more into the Brutalities. But I think you would have appreciated the gimmick, both of it. So there's that. But anyway, before I move on, I just wanted to, you know, finish up that last thing by saying thank you to BCW. I'm sure none of them are listening right now. But I just want to let you guys all know who was part of BCW. A lot of those guys, I feel, don't get the credit they deserve. And a lot of those guys who were, you know, guys who were trying out wrestling on the local circuit, busted their asses in the ring. I don't normally swear, but today you might have one here or there. I mean, it's the PG-13, so I think we're good. But those guys busted their butts in the ring to put on the best show out there, to master their own craft. There was a guy we had who I considered him an equal. I considered him a peer, in all honesty. One of the best independent guys who I feel never got the respect or the dignity he deserved. His name was, at that time, he went by the gimmick character name of the Twisted Hatter, Alex Creed. He was, you know, he was, in my opinion, he was better than Jeff Hardy of the Hardy Boys. Because unlike Jeff Hardy, who I don't know from a hole in the wall, Dom, his real name is Dominic. Hopefully it doesn't get old enough, but I think his new gimmick name, well, last I talked to him, because I haven't seen some of these people in years, but I think after the last time I talked to him, I think he was Dominic something else by now. But I want to let you guys know that this young guy was so impressive. Not just what he brought to the ring and the energy that he did. Yeah, he would do the Jeff Hardy high spots, and he put on great matches. He knew what he was doing. He was a great ring general for a guy his size. He was not a big guy, but he made up for it with his speed and his agility. But the other thing about it was he made his own gear, and he knew how to sew and all that stuff. And you talk about an indie guy who committed to making this happen. He is probably one of the most dedicated people who never got the fair respect, I feel, than other people have. Who I feel, you know, there were far more deserving people. He was one of the people who deserved a lot more than what he got, in my opinion. And then we had a guy who used to come in for BCW once in a while. He wasn't technically a BCW guy, but he was always there. And he's someone who I still talk to a lot. And Brandon Webb, the Devil's Reject back then. Back then he was the Devil's Reject, Brandon Webb. And my wife and I just watched a thing where she found out that it's one of those things where I've probably forgotten more people than she knows. and it's not, I mean, obviously Brandon I remember, but and I do remember a lot of other guys, but, you know, sometimes over the years you kind of forget who was at various different shows. Because in a wrestling show, especially in the independent circuits, you can bounce around all over the place and have guys from all kinds of different areas participating in your show. So that's what we had. We had guys from Maine, New Hampshire, Worcester coming into our shows. And, you know, to make the matches and the shows more stand out. And Brandon Webb was one of those people who worked for, you know, multiple companies. He still works, I think, to the most part. Helps train, too. Ryan Waters, who was a trainer, he still trains people. And I think there's a myth that I don't like Ryan Waters because, you know, there might have been some heat. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if there is real heat on his part. But I can tell you that I've talked to Ryan several times since then. And I guess my initial, if I'm going to call a spade, I think that the issue that I may or may not, that may exist or may not exist between Ryan and Waters and I is that I think that Ryan might have been one of those people who might have felt a little bit upset that the fitness center got so much more press than him at that time, as he was the big champion. And I want to say I had nothing to do with that. I'm not the booker at that time. I wasn't booking. In fact, my segments, the fitness center was often cut shorter than they normally are. On the cards, they knew the fans enjoyed the fitness center. They knew that got over with the crowd. And they made sure once Jazz Fitness was part of this company and this show that they would feature Jazz Fitness when he could be there. And that is why I think guys like Ryan Waters, who worked for another company, who would come in and he helped train people too. He still trains people for other things. And I don't have any bad feelings for Ryan Waters. I've already, any gripe I had back then, I mean, back then I think it was just a personality conflict. And whatever else, but I don't have any ill feelings towards him. And then I saw, you know, the person who I brought in to work with me in the films who ended up trying to steal my film. And this was like his, you know, he was doing the camera work there. And I'm like, wow, look how young he looks. And I've said before, you know, originally when I found out, you know, that he basically, you know, lied to me, telling me that, you know, he was moving to California and he wasn't going to be able to finish the film anymore. And that, you know, he would tell everyone that, you know, we couldn't work on the film anymore, knowing that I was taking a break from social media and I wouldn't see anything he was doing. But in reality, he secretly made the film or continued making on the film and then broke the film up into several pieces. And to this day, I don't really know what he told everybody else. I just can just tell you that on the porch of his house, he told me that he was moving to California. He got a job for a Mexican television, Hispanic television channel, and I was proud of him because I helped him get to film school and I helped give him the experience he needed. And then, you know, I reached out to him and he blocked me and he didn't want to talk to me. And I've reached out several times to try to make peace with him and he doesn't want any part of that. That's on him. I can't control what other people do. But anyone who knows, that's the whole story with that. But seeing that, you know, I remember a lot of that. I think it's important to remember who gets you places, because he's one of the opposite examples of the guys who I talked about who are responsible for building. But all honesty, you know, he's a great example because technically when I worked with him, that he was working with me on one of my like first films on my own. So I was green at filmmaking. Green is a wrestling term, by the way, which I just introduced to the rest to the film world. But a green in wrestling is someone who is a rookie, someone who's just starting out, someone who's not, you know, trained, a green, you know, just starting out. And when I was making the films, when I met him, I just got back into wrestling. So, and he was 16 and he was going to culinary high school. He was going to a tech school for high school. It was for culinary, which is cooking for those people who don't know, which by the way, my mother also did way back in the day. But anyway, not to get off topic because I want to make sure everything's precise and timed out. But when I met him, that's how I met him, was through the wrestling school. And he filmed a lot of the early Jazz Fitness videos. He's also responsible for editing a lot of the early Jazz Fitness videos. And when I asked him what's going on, what happened to the films, he pulled every one of the Jazz Fitness videos off of the BCW website on YouTube. So there's no more Jazz Fitness videos on YouTube, because he ran the YouTube channel for the BCW. So if you're ever looking for Jazz Fitness videos, make sure you go reach out to that person, Dan Groom, you know, the information, ask him where Jazz Fitness videos are, and you want to see them back. Because after seeing all of the, you know, the other matches on the card and watching the other things that are on the YouTube page for BCW, it's kind of clear that Jazz Fitness was the best gimmick out of BCW. And again, I owe that to Mike and Dan for bringing it to me and giving that to me. I got it over. I made that polka dot. I made Jazz Fitness Dusty Rhodes of the independent circuit. All right. Changing gears, because I've talked enough about that. I've given enough praise to the old days. But now let's get to the heart of the matter. So last night, before we get into last night, we're all talking about the same. I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. I want to take us back to a few incidents that led up to this. Now, I want to say also that normally I don't write out these shows. I don't write out anything prior to me doing it. As I said before, it's a throwback to the wrestling days, which kind of led me into talking about my old wrestling days. But because I knew that this is something specific and this has to be done right, and because I want to make sure that there's no kind of descriptions and there's no kind of, something's not taken out of context, I want to make sure people understand fully what's going on. But because I wrote it, doesn't mean I have to go in the order that I put it in either. And doesn't mean I have to really read it per se. I'm going to probably paraphrase a lot of what I originally wrote because that's usually what happens. But anyway, not reading off of it yet. But here's one. I want to give you a kind of backstory to a lot of this. So for the YouTube show specifically, Icons of the F4L that is known now. We've got to take it back to why the show began. I've talked about this before. The show started because my son was homesick from school when he was much, much, much younger. The fact that he was still in school is an indication. I think he was in middle school when he was home from school and he was sick. any good parent knows that the one thing that you want to do when your kids aren't feeling good is try to do what you can to make them comfortable and make them feel better. My son likes to laugh. He's got a pretty good sense of humor. He's got our sense of humor. So, you know, I know he likes wrestling, and I know he likes cartoons, and I know he likes the video games. Someday he's probably going to be developing the video games. You know, cheer him up. I use the Build-A-Wrestler gimmick that is on the wrestling game, and I built Peter Griffin from Family Guy, and I built Homer Simpson of The Simpsons. And I said, okay, now I want to see them fight. And because we couldn't figure out who would play who, and he wasn't really up to playing, and I am not good at video games, really. Outside of Mortal Kombat or fighting games, I'm pretty good at those. But outside of wrestling games, are way too complicated for me to figure out. But I can build people, no problem, because that's just, you know, things I can do. But so I had to build them. So we found out that if we put the, you know, the game in such a way in the settings, we could put it in what's called demo mode, which means that nor he or I will play, but we'll select the two fighters, and by moving the joystick to the middle of the both, the machine plays out the match, and you just kind of watch and see what happens, and as if, you know, whatever happens, happens, right? So that's what we did. And then my son said, oh, let's put this up on YouTube. This would be something funny. People always see what would happen between Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson, because this is around the time they already knew about YouTube, because I was on YouTube, early days of YouTube. So he said, let's put this up on YouTube. This would be funny for people to see who would win between Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson. So we did that. And then as a goofy thing, we did like commentary. So we did like our best Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby Heenan impressions, as, you know, he's dying laughing. And, you know, I'm doing the commentary, he's doing the commentary, and I come from wrestling background anyway, so I know how the moves and whatnot, and he knows the, you know, the traits of the various different characters. So that's how it started, and then, you know, people liked what we did, and they wanted to see more of those, and we called it Dream Matches, because, you know, that was one of those dream matches. This is before the creators of both decided to actually have the crossover episode where they actually had their actual fight. But we actually predated that on our show on YouTube. And then that grew into getting fan requests for certain what people want to see. Who do you want to see fight next? We started doing tournaments. Because I had a background in wrestling and I knew kind of how to book a show and run, you know, different things, you know, we put on these dream matches and show segments. We had titles, storylines, finisher moves, and then, of course, we'd call the commentary like, you know, any other wrestling thing. It added the life to it. So we did it. Got popular. So over the time, what happens is kids get older and kids kind of lose interest. Anyone who is a parent who have kids who, you know, are into things, you guys know better than I would. Or as like any other boys would, that kids always like something and then there'll be something else that'll happen, or sometimes they just grow out of it. It just happens. Or sometimes they visit it. But for the record, my son still has a lot to do with the wrestling show. I still get his input on a lot of things. He still has the ultimate says in a lot of things. He still makes his own characters. He still helps a lot of that stuff. And when it comes time to putting who's on who, he'll help out with those things. He'll help me with the various different tournaments we did. But, you know, a little later on in 2019, you know, I was starting to, I was working for the biggest wrestling company out there on creative. And, you know, I decided it's probably time for me. You know, my son was struggling in school at the time, so I said, why don't I take a break from wrestling, the actual wrestling world, and I'll stay at home and work from home. And I did that for a little while, and eventually I left the company I worked for, which, you know, is a dream job, work creative, and I am appreciative of the people who helped me get there. Paul Heyman was very, you know, developmental there. And it was a privilege to work with him again. I'm glad that he had the faith in me. It was also great to see some of my old friends that people I shared a locker room with so many years before that. And, you know, I was home, so I was working from home, and I left Facebook a long time ago because there was just too much drama, and I don't have time for that. I'm too ambitious. I have too many things to do. But since I was home and my wife and my family have all kinds of various other social platforms, and because, you know, I'm still doing the YouTube shows or whatever, I say, well, maybe I'll try out Instagram. So I, you know, turned on Instagram, and I found out that there are some also amazing, you know, future Dream Masters out there, if you would, or Women Warriors of Wrestling, depending on who you are. And when 2020 happened, this is when everyone in the world panicked. I didn't panic because what are you going to do? The only thing you can do about a situation where you have no control of is figure out how to adapt to it and what you can, how you can achieve your things around whatever the obstacle is. That's the only way you can do that. And what would happen is on Instagram, now that I'm working from home, working on writing and various other things, I've seen some of these amazing people, you know, young and old, who are, you know, doing the things that made them, you know, important, gave them something to do, or doing impressive things. And what started out as me originally, you know, I would give pointers here and there, or I'd, you know, say, you know, give a tip here and there, and it was appreciated. And then we started adding some of these people to the show. This is towards the end of when my son kind of stepped out of the picture for the show. And since I knew he wanted to do his own YouTube channel with his friends, and, you know, whatever, it's cool. He still stepped in, like I said. It's not like he's completely gone, but this was going to be something I'd have to do alone now. But since I know how to format a show, I was going to be working at home, a lot of my writing and everything else I'm doing, I was exposed and I learned a lot about all these amazing people, humans, fellow humans who were, like everyone else, staying at home or working on various different goals and dreams that they had, whether it be music, modeling, dancing, bodybuilding, fitness, combat sports. And I, you know, I started reaching out to various different people and offering pearls of wisdom, encouragement. I think that's important for people. I have a lot of experience, which is why when I was thinking, should I do a podcast and just talk? Because I am, honestly, I'm more comfortable in front of a camera. I go on YouTube, which is where I started. I can do those all day. But because my wife actually had a podcast, and actually, honestly, her show is probably more reputable than mine, I, you know, asked her, should I do a podcast? And she gave me the green light because she was not going to do more as much. So, and I told her why, and she agreed that I should. And something that, well, I'll get into the thank yous later because I want to make sure that's clear. But as this initiative started coming in, I, you know, had the YouTube show, and I decided what I was going to do is instead of having, you know, the Spider-Mans versus the, you know, the Batmans of the world, which we've done 1,000 times. It was getting stale. I'm not going to lie to you then. I mean, how many times can you watch the Tick take on the Swamp Thing? Well, I mean, now people who have not seen that match are probably like, well, I want to see who would win. Well, go back on our old shows. You can watch that. If you want to see if Tom Brady of the, you know, the Buccaneers, the Patriots, is tougher than Superman himself, go back and watch those shows. These are things we've done. So I saw there was other amazing people on YouTube, on Instagram, and I said, why don't I reach out to some of these people and feature these people on, build these people as I do everybody else, and instead of me talking about the same several characters, why don't I use this platform to help those people have a bigger audience and celebrate their accomplishments and help them get their names out there? It's not as simple. It's not as good. And I did. I started reaching out to various different people. And we're going to get into that when I start doing the thank yous. And if people don't think I remember everything, you would be mistaken. I remember every conversation. I remember everything that I had said and done, every interaction. And that's kind of where we're getting into today and why we're at where we're at today. So, so as much as I've enjoyed doing the show over the years, that's how it started. And here we are in 2022. People are back to doing, you know, the regular things again. People are back to different places that they normally would. Things are fairly back to normal. Still things are chaos and still there's all kinds of craziness in the world. You can't control everything. But the F4L is still a thing and whatever. So I've kept the show on and I've featured all these amazing people over the years. But then amazingly, like 2022, this year, I got the new, the new software was coming out. Now, here's what I got to tell you. On a technical standpoint, the GameWare software I use to build these characters, to put these shows together, and originally I'm doing it by myself, it was a pain in the neck because the system would crash, something would get lost. I only had certain elements of things I could do as far as building someone to a certain degree. I couldn't do specific entrances. I can only do like, you know, custom trons, which can and cannot take away. And just, you know, there was so many elements with the old game. It would crash, which originally, if you guys remember early days of Dream Masters, we actually streamed our shows live on YouTube as we were having them live. But, you know, the software would crash in the middle of a match, and that's, I'm a perfectionist. I hate only seeing half of a match. So, you know, I'd have to, you know, cut that and delete that, and people wouldn't see those shows. What's the point? This game software coming out, I said, well, I can do that now. And the other thing I said was, you know, I found a way around this with this new software. In all honesty, it was with the old software. I mastered it, is pre-recording the shows and then putting them out. I still have no control over the matches. I don't know who's going to win and lose. I call the action thing. I book every single match. I build every single arena. I build every single person in it. I build every single title. And all of that goes into there. While I'm calling every single different match alone most of the time, I have to keep track of what's going on in the match, in the ring, calling the action like I normally do. I have to book. I've already booked the show out ahead of time. I just run through the format. And then I put it out whenever it came out. Originally, when I started this initiative, we did it in three times a month. It was on the 4th, the 14th, and the 24th. So that way there, on those three times of the month, people knew that Dream Masters would be back, because at that time we were still Dream Masters. And this time we were featuring, you know, real-life people. And we're going to get into those in a minute or so, you know, when I start doing the appreciative and the thank yous. Because I think it's important to remember the people that helped get you where you are, but it's also important to recognize those who I'm proud of and people who I take a lot of pride in getting to know over the years, watching grow in multiple different ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, in all kinds of different ways, successfully. And, you know, what started happening recently, you know, first in 2000, this started in really in 2022, this year. Actually, it was in 2022. People who know me know I'm very blunt and very honest, and I'm probably one of the rare people in showbiz that is honest to a fault, and I'll be the first to admit that I'm honest to a fault. I say it how it is, and I feel like, you know, yes, it's some, you know, depending on the person's age or whatever, I will say things that in words that they understand. But in the same sense, I do it because I want to see them succeed. And I want to make sure that they're, you know, making sure they're going to continue with their dream and following through and make sure they get their dreams met. I've competed in martial arts and in tournaments. I've competed in all kinds of different sports. I've worked in entertainment and film, music. I've written lyrics for songs. I've written a lot of various different short stories, poems, you name it, award-winning. I've written film screenplays that have been made into films. I've written films that I've made. I've helped cast several people. These are things that I know a lot about. I've done YouTube. I ran and helped format a wrestling company's one of the biggest wrestling company's shows. So you see, I have a lot of experience here. Not to mention I'm a husband and a father and all these other things that go along with it, which is why when I do this podcast and I have these people on here, and some of these people have been featured on the wrestling show. Some of them haven't. And I hope, you know, the invitation's out there for anyone to come on. So here's what started happening. See, what I'm trying to do is protect the person's identity who started the ball rolling on me feeling this kind of sense that maybe what I'm doing isn't appreciated as much as I think it is. Rather than me tell you the person's name, I'm going to tell you what happened. So I have talented people everywhere. I support everyone's dreams, no matter what it is. Dance, theater, movies, film, TV, combat sports, sports in general, modeling, you know, you name it, I support it because I think everyone should have a dream. Everyone should do what they can to achieve that dream. As long as you put your heart into it and you're willing to put the work in, you can achieve it because I am living proof of this. And that's why I do this show. That's why I give my pointers, blah, 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 right? Someone had done a post and said, well, I feel like I should do something for you guys soon on, I should do a video on YouTube for you guys. I feel bad. I haven't been there. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a vacation. Sorry, guys. So what I had said was, don't feel you need to post a video on YouTube. Your true fans like me and the rest of the people who actually want to see you succeed, we'll be happy whatever you post, whenever you want to post. Post what you want, when you want. Don't feel the need to do it for the fans or someone else's case. The reason I say this is because anyone who's on YouTube, who's on social media, who depends on these viewers and all these other things, you know how important it is to, you know, keep a face with fans or whatever else to, you know, whatever the case may be, to get your algorithms up or whatever. And I've had really good friends of mine from YouTube who had the similar passion in music, for example. And this person was in music, to be specific. And which is why I said, post what you want, when you want. Don't feel the need to do it for the fans. And the reason is because I didn't want to see the person put all that work in and rush something just for the sake of the fans. So he didn't get burnt out. Because I've had friends of mine who are in music. Specifically, I have relatives in music who did get burned out for a little while. And in all honesty, the people who were on YouTube when I started on YouTube are not there right now because they got burnt out because of this issue. They were big on singing. They got a lot of fans demanding this and demanding that, and they currently got burnt out. They still watch our YouTube show. Because they're loyal to me, because I've always been loyal to them. I still talk to them on a regular basis. And they said that what I said was accurate. But here's what I get in response to that. Because I didn't fully go into detail why I said that. I said, post what you want when you want. Don't feel like you need to for the fans or whatever else. True supporters will follow you no matter what you put out, when you put it out. And have a great weekend. The response I got from the management team was my long-winded email, which to be clear, I do write a lot. I am a writer. you know, having an issue with the things, and he always posts and does things for his sake and didn't appreciate the context of your message. And I didn't understand why they were getting upset with me. Because I didn't see anything wrong in the matter. I went back to look at the posts. What are they seeing that I don't? All I said is be careful. Don't get burnt. You know, do it when you want. Enjoy your weekend. Don't feel the pressure that the fans can put on us. That's someone looking out for a fellow entertainer. Anyone who's in entertainment knows that. And I've been around entertainment. So then the person, same message, by the way, when I responded with, that's why I meant this, and this is, you know, why I say this, because I'm respectful to everyone. And I'm, you know, just like that, I apologize if I offended someone, but I said I wasn't trying to offend. I was trying to help and make sure that they have a successful career. I've had friends who are in the music business who got burnt out. I have family in music business who got burnt out for a while because of, you know, things. And then they reacted with, well, they have people who are in the entertainment world, friends in the entertainment world who they listen to more than just anyone. So that basically undermined me and basically discredited me for having anything to do with entertainment, because basically this person was implying that I don't know anything about entertainment, that I'm just some random person coding things. So this was the wake-up call that started the ball rolling, when I'm like, wait a minute, what? And after I showed it to, you know, my cousin who was in the music business, and my friend from Australia who I'm still friends with, who was one of the reasons why I say this, they didn't see anything wrong, and they actually thought it was nice of me to do that, and they didn't understand what the issue was. Did I still follow the person? Yeah, but from that point on, I haven't been as vocal, because I'm not going to be ridiculed for giving someone some helpful advice and then insulted for my, or being told I don't have the same knowledge as someone else. By the way, I want to give you a follow-up to that. Recently, the person did a cover of a song I wrote the lyrics to for my cousin. So the person's entertainment friends and his entertainment team, I guess, didn't do the work on finding out who wrote the lyrics to the song that they did a cover of, because that was me. But anyway, leaving that alone. And then there would be issues going forward after that. Things were fine, and I sucked it up, and I continue on, because for every one of those messages I get, I'm flooded with emails from both the YouTube show and other people who, you know, thank me for their work that I do, people who have been on the show for thanking me for what I do for the show, for other people. So then it was going well again. And then one of my podcasts recently, a while back, I had did a shout-out show where I basically spent the whole show, you know, giving acknowledgement to fellow YouTubers and telling you guys about various people you should be checking out on YouTube or whatever, YouTube, wrestling, or film, music, whatever. I did a whole show where I praised people, told you, you know, gave shout-outs to people, both who are featured on our YouTube show and people who aren't. And I had told one of the people who we featured on our wrestling show, who has been on this show, I had told him that I gave him a plug, told him about your thing, and, you know, good luck. And this person also is trying to make it as a YouTuber and a filmmaker. And as you guys, as I explained, I have a film degree, and I actually tried to give him some tips and some help to help him learn how to kind of put together a script, the art of filmmaking. I have that skills. I've done that. And I was giving him tips and helping him, trying to do what I could. And he told me, but I want to point out, I'm not upset with him, because it was the wake-up call I needed, because he said, and I quote, oh, could you not give me a shout-out on your podcast, because I don't want my viewers to confuse my channel with what you do on your channel. And I guess I could have been upset with that, but I'm like, okay, well, maybe he doesn't want his, you know, people who watches movies or whatever he's doing to, you know, he doesn't want them to confuse our YouTube wrestling show where I'm promoting up-and-coming real stars from all walks of life into things. I get that. He doesn't want people to think it's a gaming channel, which, by the way, I don't consider a gaming channel because I'm not actually playing the game. I just call the action. But that's okay. So I didn't give them a shout-out again, and I also removed them from the roster because, you know, the last thing I want to do is make things difficult for them. So if, you know, giving them a shout-out is going to make things complicated or not give them the show they wanted, the platform they needed. And also, that being said, the same point goes, why am I, if I have them on my YouTube show and I tell them where, why they're on there and why they're awesome and, you know, and things else, what's the point of having them on there when I can't shout them out? So I removed him from the roster, which is why he hasn't been on since. And his tag team partner is on there still because I still talk to him on a regular basis and he's always been professional and respectful. But I'm not saying the other kid wasn't respectful, but the other problem was that when I give him tips, the opposite is done. But also in that conversation where I said, you know, I explained to him, you don't want me to promote it. I thought at first he was joking because he has a sense of humor like I do. But he was serious and he didn't want to get confused. And then I realized it's not really on him. It's because I haven't been on YouTube like I originally started on YouTube. See, here's what people don't understand about YouTube and how long I've been around it. When Jazz Fitness has been on YouTube as long as he has, there's more videos of Jazz Fitness missing than Jazz Fitness has been on. I've been part of the early days of YouTube. I didn't even know YouTube was a thing until I was featured on it. And I didn't give myself that name either. The promotion gave me that too, for the record. But that being said, I've done other things on YouTube other than this gaming, other than the YouTube show, the wrestling show, which is there now to help people, which started as a dream thing, which originally was there to help both cheer my son up from school, yes, but also was a way for me to bond with my son, which is why the other thing I do is feature a lot of father-son teams on my show. Since then, I've also sold, there's other people who do similar things to us, so what's the point of having another one? But anyway, that was said, and then I took that, and that happened, and moved on from there. A couple weeks ago, I'm working hard on getting things ready for an upcoming MMA tournament that we were going to have on the YouTube show that the fans voted on that they wanted to see a YouTube, our show version of an MMA tournament where we're going to have the best MMA fighters, both who we have on our show regularly and then some former guests and, you know, whatever, the toughest of the tough, to have like this mega MMA tournament and be crowned the icon of MMA. That's a big deal, right? And fans voted for it, so we did this show. I put all this together. And I have been in contact with a lot of various different people from all over the place, different languages and everything else. And I know that sometimes people can have hard times. People, I do what I can to make sure people can get their dreams made, and I always make the time to answer questions, and I respond to every message I get. So imagine my surprise when I'm involved in it. I get my notification I'm involved in some type of group chat. So I see my name in a group chat and someone who I feature on my YouTube show, pretty heavily on our YouTube show and had been on the show for several times. And I talked to this person literally 24 hours before this, and the person was telling me they were panicking about an upcoming mouth surgery. And, you know, I was trying to give him the, you know, relaxing thing because I lost two teeth. I get it. I've been there, done that. Giving him those 2 points, he's trying to make him relax and whatever else, like any good person would. The next day, he and his friend are riddling me and calling me all kinds of names and all those things. So, of course, again, chalk that up as I invested my time into the wrong person who I invested so much time. I told him, listen, if you're joking, you're joking, but I don't joke like this. And that was the middle of booking this, you know, trying to put this MMA thing together. And here's this happening. And I'm like, I'm all set. I don't need it. I fired that person. By firing, I mean, just mean I deleted them off our show and don't feature them anymore. And I don't talk to them anymore. And I had shared that with other people that had happened. And the original response I got was very supportive of most of my people who know I do everything to help everybody else. And since then, I've had multiple other things. So rather than me continue on with the you know, this, that, and the other thing. Let's just sum it up like this. I deleted Instagram off my phone. I'm leaving. I'm going to be off Instagram for a little while. That's the moral of that story. Not just, you know, those incidences and then all of that. And then I, you know, there's also other things on there too, which I'll address in this formal statement that I had written. So let me get into this. Hopefully I'll have time. So the rest of this will be my written statement. And this is like special thanks and things like that. So this is really important to hear. So please bear with me. And if I have time at the end of this, I'll give you some closing remarks. Here we go. The first person I need to thank is my son, Sean Awesome. The show would not exist if it wasn't for him being home sick from school that fateful day. And it's thanks to him and his involvement and always seeing the smiles that these shows put on his face that has kept giving me the energy to do these in the beginning. So thank him for his involvement with still, even as he is not as prominent on the show, still for his words of wisdom going forward. Two, to our loyal fans worldwide, our subscribers, the followers, the people who get what we're doing and why we do it. This show has invested so much time. For all the fans who invested so much time watching our shows, supporting our athletes, supporting our future Dream Masters and Women Warriors of Wrestling, for the countless emails I get on a regular basis saying how much our stars inspired you, have given you someone to cheer for, have given you entertainment over the last several years, thank you for dealing with that. And thank you for being part of all of that. All of our loyal fans worldwide. Three, my wife for suffering time from watching, sacrificing her time watching something on television. So I can spend countless and endless time building, creating, and whatnot on this YouTube wrestling show that I have invested so much time for sacrificing her time with the TV and with me, because I'm often in depth into building the show. In all honesty, I also thank her for the creativity, because a lot of people don't know this, but she is often someone who I ask for advice on certain matches. She has been developmental in building certain elements of characters and helping out with pop reference points. She is actually the creator of Becky Day, Angry Karen, and Chad White. She is the mastermind behind that, and they wouldn't be a thing if it wasn't for her. So thank her for that. To my co-host on Tuesday nights, JoJo, the model Sebastian, and his amazing mom and dad for always taking part and taking time out of the busy schedules to help learn how to book a successful wrestling show, for spending time on Zoom, for dealing with the technical difficulties, being so easy to work with, for being so involved with your creations of your characters and your development. It has been a loyal and a privilege to work with you guys. And this is not a goodbye for people like yourself, because this is only the beginning. To the prodigy, Jackson Robert Scott, who, side note, will hopefully be on my show tomorrow and will be helping with something as a special surprise. But to Jackson R. Scott for taking time out of his busy schedule, who, much like most of our characters, only recently found out that they were featured on our show. And since learning, has been so involved in helping and being supportive of the show that he is going to be helping call the action soon in the final shows. And that, of course, is a actor from who is best known for playing either George or whatnot, and people from our show know him as one of the toughest BA champions of all time. To my fellow YouTube brothers and sisters who I've featured over the years, people like Mike, Tristan, and Robin of OK Thank You, Minty from Minty Comedic Arts, and even though it's also a podcast, Austin and Gabe of the Father-Son Fist Bump, You guys all are all YouTubers and podcasters. I respect the heck out of all of you guys. And it's been a privilege to watch you guys grow. And although we may or may not have lost contact over the years, know that you guys are always, always got my respect and always welcome on this podcast. And I will forever be linked to you guys. And you guys are always awesome. To Jack and Tim, the lucky ones, to Celtic Thunder, to Dane Cook, and all of the musical guests and the people who also just found out that they were wrestling people. Jack and Tim and the Celtic Thunder have been so developmental, and then once they found out they were wrestlers, they have been, you know, in contact, and they have loved every moment of it, and they've enjoyed it. Dane Cook is a personal longtime good friend of mine. We grew up together. We worked together a long time ago, and he recently found out that we had him on our show, and he was surprised, and he was happy, too. So thank them for part of that. To our first class of the new gen of the show, now that we're talking about the people who, when I first started rolling out this newish initiative of featuring real-life people, this is initially the first group of people who we brought in to celebrate their accomplishments. To JoJo the bodybuilder, who is an up-and-coming bodybuilder who will go far in life on and off the stage. Ivan the Dolphin Shark and Yaseni Verkovits. Ivan the Dolphin Shark on our show is a Russian swimmer. Yaseni Verkovits is a Russian footballer and MMA star, young guy. Both are appreciative, and Verkovits, for the point, has gone so far as posting his videos of his matches on his page. That's how much pride he has had as being part of this show, and that's kind of the commitment we have. Also, Riley Simmons, who is an English gymnast. Mason and Carter Stritzel, who are probably the next headliners for a future UFC fight down the road. Two of the toughest, most committed fighters of modern time, young or old. Their dad has been always spot on and always has a pretty good relationship with them. I've been trying to bring them on this show, folks, but they're just too busy. Too busy making monsters. So thank them. And, of course, Michael Fishman, Ames McNamara, also, and Sarah Gilbert from The Conners, and for being part of that. They're actors or whatever. The Duchess Lana King from our Canadian friend. She's coming back on this podcast, so we're not done with her yet either. But she's been phenomenal to watch on her show, and she's probably going to go down undefeated in the first character ever to do so in her career. Shaheen Blue, who's my cousin in real life, who is also an actor, model, and will go far in life no matter how far he goes. Noah T, Leo the Bull Curtis, both are, you know, from England and the UK, both fighters and both amazing human beings. I'm proud of watching them grow in every aspect of the way. And I'm thankful of them. And that's kind of the first groups of people who we had on our first round of people. And their countless, you know, efforts in real life, I think, transcends into their work on our shows. A lot of those people I just mentioned, if you guys have watched our YouTube show, you know how tough they actually are on our show, what they've actually accomplished. I have no control over it. I don't pick who wins and who loses. I don't play the game. I have to believe that the characters that are modeled after these people, the work that they put in real life resonates throughout there, wherever they may be, digital or not. And to our latest group of Dream Masters and Women Warriors of Wrestling, which is the latest gen, the guys like Jaden Brooks, Henry and Jairo Minya, the Minya boys, Anthony Mason and Ty Adele, the Adele boys, Kinder Hulk, S. Sniper Wolf, Maddie B. Raps, Danielle Harris. You guys, some of you guys probably just found out now you have been on our show, but a lot of you guys know that you are too. Henry and Jairo Minya, who have been on this podcast twice, talking about being the up-and-coming next boxing or fighting champions, and I believe they will. They're two committed young men. also took the time to send me what they wanted and have been developmental in having their things featured. And the Adels also taking part in the MMA stuff and whatnot. To all of the various creators and the companies that we have featured in for, you know, allowing us to utilize your images and your characters for our Dream Masters to badger around. I know it's probably not easy to watch some of these people beat some of your biggest heroes and toughest toughs, but it's all for a good cause. We don't control over it, but it builds character. So what's next for me? This is not the end of what is... This is not the end, so don't think this is a goodbye or anything like that. I'm going to still have this podcast. But as far as the YouTube show as a whole, that is what's going to change. We are going to have one last match, one last show that is going to be what's called the Curtain Call Show. And in the Curtain Call Show will be the very last episode of what we know of the Dream Icons of the F4L. And, you know, I think I touched on a little bit before where I explained why I'm leaving Instagram. The reason I'm stopping the show, the reason why I'm putting an end to this content and whatever is a couple things. One, I am smart enough to know when something gets stale. And I also know enough to know when people appreciate it. And I also know enough to know that just some people don't get it or don't want it. And I get that. So it kind of blends together with the whole Instagram thing and my feelings towards Instagram. But it also transcends into these individuals who I invest a lot of time and energy and effort into getting their names out there. But, they'll like something I'll post, but there's no kind of, you know, thanks for having this. I'm not saying I'm looking for that, but should I really have to, you know, ask someone to say thank you for helping make your name a global thing? I want to point out, I'm not going to say anybody specifically, but I want to point out that some of the people I mentioned just recently, if you were to put in the Google search engine any of the names I just mentioned, there's a good chance that the first things that'll pop up is our videos. Combats, like the future MMA stars, for example, if you were to put in any of those names, yeah, you might find here or there something, but for the most part, you will find our videos. And I found this out accidentally because when I was trying to do research on certain things, our videos kept on popping up and I was getting annoyed. But yet, I would reach out to the people directly to ask them directly things. And yeah, for the most part, the communication has been good. But I also know that they're not into this. And I also, and this is the final kind of wake up call for me was a couple of weeks ago, I did a MMA tournament that I was talking about that I was trying to plan at that point. This MMA tournament, we had 40 fighters in. Fighters, everyone from our regular cast and crew, which people like Mason, Carter, the Adels, the Stritzels, the Menyes, everyone was featured, including Austin of the Father-Son Fist Bump. And we brought back former stars we used to feature all the time who, you know, throughout the purpose, we have to rotate people out. Some people, you know, catch on. Some people like it. Some people don't. And, of course, I featured the guys who were trained in some type of combat. Jaden Brooks did fairly well. And here's the thing. As much time as I invested in this, as much, you know, there was 40 qualifying matches, and I aired all of them in their entirety. And, you know, so much so that I also – not only did I did a special where I drew all the names. I kind of pulled back the curtain for the first time and showed you guys kind of how I figure out tournaments. I draw the names to fight who's going to fight who. And then I, you know, pulled out who was going to face who when we did the semifinals, the finals of the finals, right? Because then I took the winners of each of those qualifying rounds and put them into the big thing. And we did crown an icon of the MMA. And, you know, I told the person who won, and all of their representatives, I told them that they won, and, you know, they wanted to see it, so I sent it to them. But I realized, you know, they're not even following me on Instagram. They're not following it, to my knowledge, they're not following me on YouTube. So they don't see their shows. They don't see their matches, even though I tell them about them. The persons who won are people who don't follow me on Instagram, and they don't follow the YouTube show that they're featured on. If you guys remember last week where I said, I'm going to go through and find out who follows me and who doesn't, and I know who does and who doesn't, and I can, you know, show appreciation by them. And I said, listen, if I don't see you following me, I'm not going to continue investing time into promoting you and getting your name out there. Excuse me. Triple drinker, this is what happens. Hold on 1 second. much better. I'm sorry about that. For the record, if water goes down, if you start, you know, have water or liquid goes down your windpipe, I guess that's the closest thing you'll ever feel to drowning, I guess. And that's probably why I don't enjoy that very much. All right. You know, oddly enough, after I just gave that statement, I still have some time left. So where do we go from here? How does this all end? Well, here's how it ends. The YouTube show, as I mentioned, we're going to have one final show. And we're going to call it it's going to be called The End of the Road, or The Curtain Call of the Icons. And this will be a show where we're going to feature our best of the best, one last match, one more time, as a way for fans to tribute their stars. But after that, that is the end of Icons of BF4L on YouTube. I invest so much time into building and creating. And I can't say it's not because of everybody else, and there are plenty of people who are heavily involved in how I build and how they're featured, but the other part of it is I also know when things get stale. Algorithms tell me that our videos are watched ridiculous amount of times and from all over the world. The emails I get is off the chart. I read some of them on the YouTube channel. On the YouTube channel, I read emails from fans who listen, who watch our show, who are invested in these people. And you'd be surprised how many few people responded to that and thanked them for that. We feature. I come from pro wrestling, and I come from multiple other things, and I am also trained in martial arts, and I come from sports. And if you can't appreciate your fan base, your audience, how far do you plan on going? So that's kind of how I feel. There have been plenty of people who have had a lot to do with the success of this show, and I thank every single one of them. JoJo Sebastian, as I mentioned, and the Menya Boys. And here's the thing. I'm taking a break from Instagram, like I mentioned, and I'm not going to go on there for a little bit because I'm not only am I tired of constantly, you know, having to walk on eggshells for trying to help other people, but also being reminded that as much as I say and promote something I do for others, it's not respected, it's not responded well, it's not reciprocated. How often do any of them people, hey, how you doing? And whatnot. I go on respect, and I'm a big respect guy. So the YouTube, this podcast is going to remain. I'm going to continue doing this podcast. And on the YouTube show, the channel, I should say, I have three, by the way, but the main channel that you guys are all know, that's going to be more converted into maybe a live thing where I'm going to have face-to-face interviews with people, or I'm going to give words of wisdom or something like that. Because I think that is more worth my time than building people or things and putting these shows together when no one else has that commitment or time or energy to commit to. You know, my son can only do so much. JoJo Sebastian's, you know, got schooled and he's out of school and he, you know, he's a bit doing the modeling and doing gigs, and I'm proud of all of these people. And I want everyone to know that everyone who I shouted out, you guys have all been so impressive, and I'm proud of everybody who's been part of the show. The Stritzels, the Adels, the Minya Boys, Jack and Tim, Father Son Fist Bump. I'm proud, you know, the OK Thank You Guys, Minty. I love all you guys. I'm proud of every single one of you. You know, and, you know, it's not an easy decision for me to, you know, shut down the show that's taken so much of my time in the last couple of years, but I don't think that it's worth continuing. You don't follow it. You don't want to involve your fans, thank your fans at least. In all honesty, I need to focus my attention and my skills into things that can people can benefit from, people can appreciate. The people I mentioned are not, none of those people really, none of the people I mentioned are people I am complaining about. But, and they are, have made the shows worth doing, as I said. But all honesty, I go by numbers. I go by reality. I know a lot more people watch our YouTube shows because of the algorithms versus how many people are subscribed to the YouTube channel. I want to point something out, basic math. On YouTube, we have a roster of 100 people. That's how many people I can create. Out of those 100 people, probably maybe 20 of them are fake people or people who we have for our guys to kind of fight with, all honesty. And I want you guys to do the math on that now. If 20 people off our roster are not... never mind that. I'll save you guys the trouble. I'll do the math for you live on the air. There's 100 people on our roster. We take away 20 of those people who are, you know, various comic or other people. That means there's 80 people we feature on our show on a regular basis. Now, 80 people... right? Now, I'm going to subtract what we actually have for a loyal fan base, which is 45 subscribers. That means there's 35 people we feature on our show every month who don't watch their own matches, who aren't invested in their time or their investment on our show, who don't seem to care that the world knows who they are. And that's basic math, folks. And that's why I know that what I've done enough for people. I have my films to worry about. I have two coming out next year. I have a stage play next year, which is I'm really excited for. I've never written a stage play. I got it done last year, and I'm going to be working on it next year. Along with my film projects will also be set for next year. Here's what is going to happen. I have some emails. I have some phone numbers, various people I've met over the years. People have been featured on this show. You guys always have a place here on this podcast, and I don't forget those who are loyal. I think it's unfortunate I never got to feature people on the wrestling show who I would have liked to have. And I also think it's unfortunate that I had to leave Instagram because it's just too much sadness for me. I feel like I'm wasting my time giving points, giving support. Last I checked on Instagram, I follow 2,000 or 3,000 people, and 200 people follow me. Yeah, the people who follow me, some of those people are on the YouTube show, some of them aren't. And sometimes it's a tough pill to swallow that when you feel like you want to see people succeed and you feel like you want to give, you're giving you 2 points and you want to think that, people appreciate those things you say. It doesn't feel that way. It feels like I'm talking to a brick wall. And the other thing is on Instagram, for example, I see plenty of people who have been said some horrific things, not just to me, but not to me actually, but more so other people via, Q&As or whatever, horrific things to young people. And it's so horrific that, anytime I've intervened, because I'm a dad by heart and by trade, and the minute you see someone, being a bully buster than I am or being the father that I am, the protective individual I am, regardless if I know them or not, there's a difference between seeing something that's wrong and not doing anything about it and then seeing something and just turning the blind eye. And I've never been someone who walks down the opposite side of the street of a burning building. I run in like my mother did. So no matter in the last, I don't know how long, it's becoming more and more apparent. There's so many creeps on social media. And I fight with all of those people. And I have to step in and interject and report. And you know what Instagram tells me? We don't see anything wrong with this post. The person just told a young person what they did, and you don't see a problem with that, Instagram. Horrific. I can only report so much, and I can only tell the person, hey, tell your parents, tell someone this isn't cool. Can't sit and watch that anymore because my protective nature won't let me keep myself quiet, and I can't continue watching that either. And it's sickening. People who want to be filmmakers or dancers have to put up with morons who are hurt. I can't tell you everything they say because, again, this show is PG-13 today. But know that I don't appreciate it. I'm sure they don't either. That's not the support people want. So now, again, this show is available for anyone to come on here, to be featured on here, to kind of do what we did on our YouTube show. The people I mentioned, you're always welcome on this podcast. I don't forget people. And I hope that everyone who we featured in the last 2 or 3 years or whatever it's been, I hope you guys have enjoyed the time, and I hope that it has meant something to you guys. I hope it has helped you in some way. I'm proud of everyone. At the end of the day, everyone we featured on the show, I'm proud of it. And I don't regret, supporting these people. And I stand by my decision in supporting everybody in following their goals and dreams, no matter what those goals and dreams are. I might not be involved. I might not get some certain aspects, but that doesn't mean it's not important to somebody else. I played soccer, aka football. To the world, football is football, because to here in the States, it's soccer. But I played football for many years. That's for our European audience members. For our American audience members, I played soccer for many years. And people constantly wanted to, you know, make fun of the soccer players like it wasn't a tough sport. It's for girls, even, other kids would say, until they actually get on the field and do it. But here's something I'm going to let people know. No matter where you go in life, whatever your goal and dream is, there's always going to be those people who will have those things to say. But it's going to be up to you. How do you deal with that? Do you wave the white flag and walk away? Or do you adapt in a different way? Do you quit? Well, everyone's different in different ways. You can get thrown off a horse, but it's up to you what happens when you get down there. Whether you get up, get on the horse and ride again, or you get up and never ride again. This is something that legitimately happened to me when I was younger. I legitimately got thrown off my uncle's racehorse when I was a younger kid in the barn. I was like 7, I want to say. And the horse was known for being kind of a jerk. And I got thrown off it. My uncle said if I chose to stay off the horse, I'd probably never get on another horse again. And I got back on the horse. He didn't throw me off again. Wouldn't let him. But I think back to that day, which sounds more like a cliche or sounds like something you would hear inspirational things speaking about. But that was me in that moment, and that was legitimately what happened. I got up. And I got on the horse again, and I love horseback riding. People are quick to judge other people or have quick to say something about someone else's goals, dreams, or aspirations. People are quick to comment on how someone should dress, how someone should be. And I guess that's another thing on the Instagram thing. I don't understand people who ask people, hey, how do my clothes look? Here's the thing. When I was in combat sport, in martial arts, or when I was starting off filmmaking, or even wrestling, social media wasn't a thing. The internet really only started coming in like, you know, later on in my wrestling career, really. So the only way I got over in the freestyle wrestling tournament. So when I'm talking about my combat stuff, right, and in my martial arts training and stuff, the reputation I got on the mat couldn't be heard on Facebook or Twitter or social media because there was no such thing. In the 80s and before that, the only way people heard your name or you had a reputation or people heard about you is by word of mouth. If you do regionals like I did that transcended all the way from New England all the way down to the lower Jersey, Tennessee areas. I think Tennessee was the furthest I've been. And my commitment level was there for my team, to the school that I supported, and the attitude I had going into those fights was always being prepared, overly prepared, and doing my homework. There was no social media for me to watch videos on. There was no YouTube to see someone else. There was the old school way. Either someone had a film from the person from various tournaments, and we got a hold of those, and that's how we watch those, and we study those. Or my biggest thing, I said it to the Menyes last week. When I had a tournament, I would stay out there the whole time. I wouldn't go anywhere, and I would watch every fight because in the various different – because I don't know if anyone's ever been to a martial art tournament. Sometimes, a lot of the times, a lot of these regionals and stuff, you'll have several different tournaments going on at one event. same thing goes for wrestling. You'll have several different things going in one area. And in order to keep track of all that, you have to be in point. I would watch as much as I could before I got on the mat. When I got to the mat, I already knew who I was fighting, and judging how they came on the mat, I knew how the fight was going to go, and I knew how long the match was going to be, how long I wanted it to go, because that's the mentality I had. The record I gave the Menya boys when they asked it, what is my record? And I had to think, because when you're going through all those things, I started doing tournaments when I was 5 years old. My last tournament I did, I was 18, and I got my grandmastership, my belt that day, the black belt and grandmastership that day. And it was also the day I was diagnosed with cancer. Well, the day after I was diagnosed with cancer. And then a few months before that, I beat cancer that time, and that tournament was – when I got my black belt and did that tournament, that was me coming back to martial arts because I was out for a little bit to deal with the cancer because I was 18. And then after I did the tournament, that's when I went into wrestling school, and everything I said fell through. The other thing is I had a backup plan. I had other ambitions I wanted to do. If I didn't have a backup plan, I probably would have been very – concerned. People who want their goal to be in combat sports or something to do with fitness sports, you need to have a backup plan. And it's not because you need to worry about being successful or winning or whatever, but you need to be able to afford to continue to be the fighter or the fitness person that you are. To be a bodybuilder, you need to be able to afford the countless hours in the gym, the training, the supervision you need to do so, the various different vitamins and the various different shakes and the food you need to necessarily eat. So there's money involved there that you need to be able to afford. And the same thing goes, for combat sports. And also, what happens if you're injured? That happens in combat sports, in fighting. There's going to be an injury. If you haven't had one yet, you're lucky. But I'm going to guarantee you, if this is something you want to get into, you will get an injury. No one else is going to tell you, but I will. It just happens. It's not because you did something wrong or they did something wrong that things happen on the mat. That's what I can tell you from experience. I injured my left knee in a soccer game in second grade. I know, right? And was it second grade? Yeah, second grade. I injured my knee. And it was in a soccer game. A kid clipped my knee at the end of the game. I scored the goal. The kid came behind and chop-blocked my knee. I didn't tell my martial art teacher because I had a tournament that weekend. And I continued to go. And my knee started hurting and hurt for, it still does. But after a little while, eventually the pain wasn't as bad. Remember, I was in second grade, so 8, 9 years old, right? And in 2003, in pro wrestling, I was put through a table the wrong way, and it wasn't done right, and I unfortunately got injured, blew out my knee again, and this time I wasn't allowed to work out in the gym or go and compete anywhere. That was my first dream, remember. Was to be a pro wrestler. I got injured. I did everything I was supposed to. Things happen, right? That was my goal and dream. Less like you guys have your own goals and dreams. But when I got injured, at least I knew I also want to help people. I also want to make films. And I had backups, and I did those things. And I did those while I was injured. And afterwards, I still do those things. And the other thing about it is all of this combat training, right? Or, whatever the training is you're doing, invested in, whether it's film, whether it's dancing, whether it's combat sports, whatever the case may be, whatever your passion is in life, if you can, if you can name 7 ways and you can demonstrate 7 ways to put someone in various different arm bars or sleepers or chokes and stuff, then, but you can't but you don't know how to make an egg or how to cook a chicken, make some pasta on your own with no supervision, there's an issue. Because what? You're supposed to have someone prepared for you? And I just gave the thing a side-head look that no one can see, but I want you to think about that. Injuries are going to happen. And to all of the parents and supporters of all of the athletes out there, here's what I can tell you. I think it's awesome that you guys are always supporting of your families. It's important to their development. It's important for their growth. And it will come back and be their corner points when they're getting older with their own kids. But here's something I want you to think about. As a father myself and someone who's been on the mat, I know most of you guys who have kids who also do the same things, who follow the footsteps, probably have the same thing. They have the same drive you did, I'm sure. But I want to take you back to remembering your first goal is to be a parent. And for myself, I had a top job writing for the best wrestling company in the world. I gave that up to help my son succeed in school, and I would do it again because that's what a father does. But that's a different story. That was school. I see many people who invest so much time in working out and getting ready for combat and getting ready for bodybuilding, getting ready for dancing, and whatever the case may be, fighting, sports, whatever. At the end of the day, if your kid is under 25 years old and has cauliflower ear, never mind. If your kid is under 19 and has cauliflower ear from wrestling, then you need to start looking at, is this the right thing? Because right now, it's awesome. They feel great, right? Later in life, that ear is going to bother them. I'm going to tell you, as someone who competed at that level, who was very good in what he did, who was very successful, anyone who has competed will tell you, I'm only 42 years old. I've had a lot more success than a lot of other people who are 42 years old, granted, and a lot more experience than people who are older than me. But I'm 42 years old. My knee hurts on a regular basis, but I often block that out. I don't believe in painkillers. So if I have surgeries, whatever, I don't do any of those things. I get my teeth pulled. I get my stitches, anything I get like that. I don't do anything for that. But what I want you to think about, if your kids are younger than 18, and I'm talking to anyone who is under 18, and they've already had a surgery for something because of whatever it is that they're involved in, here's what I'm going to tell you, because I know from experience, I am one of the most competitive people out there, and I did it to myself. I didn't tell my coaches I was injured. I fought through my pain every single time, and I competed on the mat at the same level every time. They didn't know I was in pain, but I did. Afterwards, when the adrenaline stops running out and you feel that the next day, that's what I'm talking about. And if your kids are in so much pain that they're having to get surgeries, they have to find a way to get rid of cauliflower ear, or that they're having to get some radical pain relief because of what they're doing, you need to find something that can be their alternate, because this is the beginning of what's coming. And when they get to be 42 years old like me, they're going to be in wheelchairs. I am 42 years old. I've had multiple injuries. The only surgeries I've had has been due to cancer 3 times. And I'm still going. But I also knew when to walk away. I'm competitive. I won't quit. Tell my coaches when I'm sick and when I'm hurt because I need to be on that mat. My team needs me. And I'm telling you that from one parent to another, watch out. Your kids are only your kids for so long. But if you can see your kids are in pain, but yet they're still going out there and competing, doing something that when they get to be my age, they're not going to walk and they're going to have all kinds of energy. They can be the most successful person ever in that genre. But when they get to be my age and they can't walk and hold their own family because they're in so much pain, I want you to reevaluate that and know that that is something that you guys did together. Sometimes it's important. Yes, be successful. Yes, be supportive of whatever their goal and dream is. But when you start to see them in pain, where injuries are happening, that's when your dad or your parent mode has to kick in. And you have to be level-headed and say, no, you're not fighting today. You have an injured whatever. And if you don't know your kids are injured, again, not doing a good job being observant. So I'm sure a lot of people are probably upset with me now because I had to give you guys a reality of it. And I want to also point out that I'm proud of my martial art background, every single ounce of it. I earned every single scar I have on my body, and I don't have a gripe about it. And I want to say I don't want people to think that I'm hating on the people for continuing to have their young athletes compete. That is awesome to have that support. I'm just saying make sure that you and them have a backup plan for when if the injury happens, what are they going to do after? How are they going to support their goal and dream going forward? That's something you have to think about. And again, if they're in their teens, I'm going to say if you're 10, no, I got to be honest with you. If you're 8 years old and doing combat sports and you can name 7 arm bars and you can do 6 backflips or whatever else like that, but you can't fry an egg or make some pasta and cook for yourself without someone else doing it for you, that's when you get to start to evaluate because you're missing life skills that are important in life. You can do 7 arm bars, but you can't make a baked chicken to support yourself and cook for yourself to feed you and your family. That's an issue. And if you tell me that they're too young to be cooking, but yet they're not too young to compete at their level, then that's a wrong thing too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that has been me ranting and explaining to you guys why I'm taking a break from social media. And yes, there will be one last Icons of the F4L show coming up. It'll be sometime. It's probably going to be on the day that it's going to end with a 4 because that's how I do things. And it's probably going to be in July. So with 90 seconds, hopefully tomorrow, I'll have Jackson R. Scott on the show here today. And till then, everyone, you want to get a hold of me? You want to be on the show? You better email me because that's the only way you can do it now. Wow, W-O-W, Dream Matches, DREAMMATCHES @gmail.com. That's it. That's all the way you can get a hold of me now, unless you have my phone number. You want my phone number? You email me. That's how you get that. So, again, W-O-W, Dream Matches, W-O-W, Dream Matches, DREAMMATCHES @gmail.com. I am the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. We'll be back with you hopefully tomorrow. Until then, may all your dreams come true, everybody.